when I was reading, I guess that was Tuesday or Wednesday, this is what I want you to teach on, and I got started and I thought, boy, that's a big subject. It can be taught on for, I guess, the rest of this year and maybe all the next year. It's the title of it is The Love of God. And it just sort of dawned on me when I started reading some of these passages of Scripture and started thinking about the love of God and what I needed to say, I come to realize that it's going to take me much longer than I thought to teach on this subject. Sometimes it's a subject that we think so many of us know about, but I wonder, let's kind of take that for granted and don't really understand what that means to us. And I think God wants to remind us, help us to understand what it means that He loves us. Because it is on the basis of His love and His love alone that we can love others. And if we don't have His love, we can't love others. And He tells us to have His love, and if His love is shed abroad in our hearts, as the Word of God says it's supposed to be, and it is, if we're Christians and allow it to be shed abroad in our heart, then we're not even supposed to love those who love us, but we're to love our enemies. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. The Bible tells us He commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, not while we were good or righteous or merciful, but He commended His love towards us in that when we were in our trespasses and sins, He sent His Son to die for us. We hadn't done anything of righteousness to deserve such love. He just loved us because God is love. What started this was, and I thought I was going to get into Deuteronomy chapter 5 this morning. I am going to read a couple of verses here from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I just need to explain a couple of things about Deuteronomy chapter 5, because this is where the Lord had me when He started talking to me about this. And in this chapter, He has Moses talking to the children of Israel, the people of God that belonged to Him at that time. And He was explaining to them the Ten Commandments. And He said, "These are my Ten Commandments. And I want you, if you honor me and you're going to have me as your God, then I want you to keep these, observe these Ten Commandments. I want you to keep them." The problem is with, and this is the main thing that the Lord used Deuteronomy chapter 5 on me, was that most of the time, a lot of time, those that don't really completely and fully understand the love of God think that God gave us those commandments because He wants us to do those things and keep those commandments so that He can love us. And that's not true. God loved us before we ever knew Him. God loved us before we even realized there was a God. God loved us, and that while we were yet in our sins and still doing ungodly things, He loved us. So He didn't give us the Ten Commandments so that we could be saved or so that we could keep commandments so that He would love us. I'm emphasizing that because people don't understand that. He gave us the Ten Commandments so that we could realize that we didn't deserve His love. In fact, the Bible teaches us that through the commandments, through the Ten Commandments, through the law that God gave, it's how we have the knowledge of sin. The commandments were given so that we would recognize that we are sinners and that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, are we really not supposed to? No, we're supposed to keep the commandments. The problem is without God and receiving His and being recipients of His love, we can't keep them. And that's the whole point that we first need to understand, is that we can't keep them, so we don't deserve His love. We can't earn His love, but He loves us anyway. And when we get a glimpse of that, we begin to understand that we're just helpless dudes and we need God's help. But how do we get it? And the fact of the matter is, sometimes we don't get it. We just don't understand. We don't get it. Is that in spite of our who we are in our flesh and what we've done, in spite of the fact that we have all sinned and we deserve death, there's not any of us righteous. That God still loves us and sent His Son to take our sins, our ungodliness, our unrighteousness, our adulteries, our blasphemy, our whatever, all that we've done in our lives, our drunkenness, our whatever, all of the sins that we've committed and the sins that envelop us, that has brought death upon us. Basically, that's what the Bible says, that death has come upon all men because all of us have sinned. And that death doesn't just mean we're going to die physically. Because the Bible speaks of another death that's more eternal than just physical death. It's eternal death. It's called the second death. And if we die in our sins, having not become recipients of God's grace, then that's just not the end of it. That's just the beginning of it. We're going to spend eternity separated from God. That's an awesome thing. When we stop to think about it. But still, God didn't give us the commandments so that we could know that we were sinners. He tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and some other places and scriptures I don't want to share with you this morning. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. This is God speaking here to Moses and the children of Israel. And here's what he's saying. Oh, and that means he's hurt. For God so loved the world, he hurt. He sent His Son. Why was He saying, that they had such a heart in them? He's talking to people, us, not just the children of Israel. This is the Word of God. He's talking to us, all human beings.
Oh, he's saying, I wish that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep and always keep all of my commandments. Not now here, I'm going to stop right there again. I want to emphasize this because this is what he told me to emphasize. You're going to see right here, he didn't give his commandments, as so many people sometimes believe, to put us in bondage. He didn't give us the commandments to put us in bondage. He gave us the commandments so that we could keep his word, do what his word tells us, so that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That's why. That's why his son died for us. That's why his spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost on the body of Christ. That's why when we're born again by the Spirit of God, it's so that things might go well with us. And not only might go well with us, but they might go well with our family members and our loved ones. Isn't that wonderful? I'm here today. I've been healthy most all my life. I guess I'm still healthy. I've had a few issues, but God brought me through them. My family and my children have had a few issues. God brought them through them. You know why? Because of His Word. And because He loves us, and because He's faithful. We may not be faithful, but He is. We may not be loving. Sometimes we may not even act like we love Him, but He loves us. Sometimes we may have gotten kind of messed up in our lives, and I'm just going to sit down right here and talk to you. Amen. That's what He wants. He wants to talk to us. And He wants us to hear Him and understand what He's saying. And through all of the things in life, as I've known the Lord since I was 19 years old, and I'll soon be 85. And I found through experience, not just because God said so, but I found through experience that God will never leave me nor forsake me. That He's with us always, even till the end of the age. And that He loves us and He cares about what happens to us. He cares for what happens to us even in the bad times, as well as the good times. He cares for us all the time. And the fact of the matter is, He wants the best for us. He literally wants the best for us. And He wants the best for our families and our children and our loved ones. So when we pray, we need to understand that we're not trying, and a lot of people don't understand this, but when we're praying and talking to God about our family or about circumstances or situations in people's lives, whatever those things might be, we're not trying to get God we're not trying to twist God's arm to get Him to do something. Prayer is, as He says, not the abundance of words that we speak. Prayer is when we get a hold of God and we understand that He loves us and He loves those who are praying for and He delights to answer our prayers. Because when we have our prayers answered, that's one of the best things. You say, well, other people are praying too, but I know I had a part in it. Amen. When prayers are answered, if we've been some of the ones that are praying, bless God, we've had a part in God hearing those prayers and answering those prayers.
And so that helps us to understand that, hey, here, there's God. He's God. Very God. There's no other like Him. And somebody like me and you and we can come before His throne of grace. And even though we don't become so accustomed to coming before His grace that we just come in and say, "Here I am, wonderful Father. Here I am, your wonderful Son. I'm so glad that I'm blessed." Blah blah blah. It's that we come with awe, because even though He's our Heavenly Father, He's God. And because He loves us. And we stand in awe of the fact that somebody like Him in all His glory could love somebody like us. Not only that, but He says, "I'll hear you when you talk to me." I remember years ago when John F. Kennedy was president of the United States, the Lord used this to impress this, what I'm sharing with you, on me. This is back in the 60s when I learned this, and it changed my life. He was in a presidential meeting in the White House in his office. Some of the highest dignified people in the world were in his office. The meeting was tremendously important. I don't even remember what it was about, but it was a very special meeting. And bursting through the door, come little John John. He didn't know there was a big meeting going on. He didn't know anything. He just knew that was his dad sitting there. And he was about 4. And he just run over and jumped up in his dad's lap and threw his arms around his neck. That broke up the whole meeting for that moment in time, because that was the president's son. And nobody cared. Are you listening to me? God wants us to feel that way. That we can just come whenever we feel like it. I miss my dad. I need to talk to my dad. I need to feel His arms around me. I need to feel His forgiveness. I need to feel His love. I just want to come and give Him a big hug. Because I know when I give Him a big hug, He just picks me up and hugs me in return, and there's nothing like that. And there's not anything that can take the place of that. And that's what He wants us to understand this morning. If we don't get anything else out of this, that's what He wants us to understand. We're welcome. He's our Heavenly Father. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would understand. They would understand and have an awe and be in awe of me and always keep my commandments, and because they understand, and not out of fear or out of a judgmental or condemnation, that keeps us out of it. That keeps us from His presence. That's why He tells us in Romans chapter, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Because He wants us to stand in awe of Him and to respect Him for who He is, but He also wants us to do those things that are pleasing in His sight, because we're doing those things out of love for the Father, not out of some religious theology, doctrinal, churchy, denomination something thing, which brings us into bondage. If we don't understand the purpose of the commandments, that they were to help us to feel better and have a relationship with our Father, a better relationship, so that we could do what He wanted us to do. If we didn't understand that, then we wouldn't want to have a relationship with Him. We don't want to come into His presence. Am I right? Why does He want us to love Him? Why does He want us to understand that He sent His Son to die for us before, while we were yet sinners and couldn't do anything to help ourselves? Why does He want us to understand all so it might be well with them and with their children forever? Now, I'll have to admit, get off, ain't got to my other scriptures yet. Doesn't make any difference. I'm where God wants me to be. There were some times when we have three children. Lewis Jr., he just turned 65 here last week. And Rachel, that's where I was last Sunday. I was at his birthday party. Or his birthday party, we held it on Saturday in Houston. We had a good time. Amen? So, when Lewis Jr. And Rachel, we had her there, a year apart. Lewis's birthday was, I think it was 56 or 56, somewhere. Pardon? Anyway, he's 65. Rachel, we thought, well, here's my son, firstborn. 1 year, September the 29th, he was born. October the 11th, a year later, here come a bouncing baby girl, Rachel. And when they were coming up, brother, that's, you know, you see all these gray hairs on my head? I was wondering, God, how to help them. What is that? What is that? I couldn't say much because they were a chip off the old block, if you know what I mean. All I could do was, I did punish them. I did try to correct them. We did try to teach them right. But the main thing that they knew out of through all of that, we weren't trying to discipline them because we were mad at them or upset with them. We were disciplining them because we wanted them to love the Lord, and they wanted to, and we wanted them to know that we love them. Any home that doesn't discipline their children, they cannot tell me that they love their children, because children need discipline. Amen? So, I thought, what in the world? And then, to make matters sometimes even worse, me being a pastor, and I've probably told you this story before. Some old lady calls me up, Pastor Cowan, do you know what your kids are doing? Lord, I wanted to tell her. I know more about what my kids are doing than you know. But I didn't say anything.
I said, oh, ma'am, I'm not really sure what all they're doing. She said, well, she's going to tell me. They're running around with the wrong crowd. I said, ma'am, if you have any, if you know any kids that are running around with my kids, tell them to stay away from them. They're not running around with the wrong crowd. They are the wrong crowd. She hung up on me. I'll tell you, at some time or another, we've all been in the wrong crowd, haven't we? That's why Jesus came. Shed His blood for us. Bore our sins in His body on the cross. Took our death. Was buried for us. But on the third day, rose again. So that He might get us out of all of us. All of us who want to receive. You see, we have to receive that love. We have to receive that forgiveness. But to as many as received Him, 1 John 1:14, I think it is, says, to as many as received Him, St. John chapter 1, verse 14, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the ability to become the sons of God. So the gift is not just like some people say, well, and it doesn't really make them a whole lot of difference one way or another, because they don't really care. Well, God, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. I'm going to be all right. I can go do whatever I want to do. He doesn't have to be my God. Jesus doesn't have to be my Lord. I can just go do whatever I want to do. Everything's going to be fine. I sure thank Him. But they, aren't you glad that God gave you an experience? Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God dealt with you and me and we and said, here's my son, he died. Will you receive him? Will you receive my gift? Will you receive the gift of my love? And when we did, and we didn't even really know fully and totally and completely what we were doing, we didn't understand all of the theologies and doctrines and terminologies involving all of that. We just simply said, like I did, I said, Lord, I feel Your Spirit. I know I'm not right with You. And I want to be right with You. And so I'm coming to You just like I am. I can't change my life. I can't do better. I don't even want to do better. I didn't say all of this. What do you understand? But that's where I was. And from that time to this, when He changed me, I have never, ever been the same since. Have I been perfect? Well, my mom and dad could tell you some things if they were here. That would probably curl your hair if it's not already curled. My wife could tell you some things too. Not that I ever ran around on her, committed adultery or anything like that, but I was far from being the perfect husband. Are you with me? But the only perfection that we have in this world is the perfection of the new nature that God has put in us when we were born again into His kingdom by the Spirit of God. And therefore, as the Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you want to write this down, therefore, if any man or any woman, any boy, or any girl be in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus,
They're a new creation. They're a new creation. They've been born again. Amen. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I didn't even know that verse when I got saved. I didn't know I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. I knew something happened to me. And I knew that the God that I didn't really want to have anything to do with in my life, even though I was a church member and got baptized when I was 12 years old and had gone through some of the religious things that people go through, I didn't understand all of that, but I knew now, I knew within me that God loved me, Jesus died for me, and I had received His gift, and now I was one of His, I belonged to Him. I didn't know what all that meant. I've been learning ever since then. I'm still learning what that means. Are you perfect? In Christ I am, but when I'm in this physical body, you don't ever know what I'm going to do. You know, we can get in the flesh. And the Bible tells us as Christians, don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Why does it say that if we couldn't do it? Boy. Not yet. I've been in the flesh quite a number of times. Sometimes I didn't know I was in the flesh. Did God disown me? Let me ask you a question. Was I unborn? Was I no longer one of His children because I was in the flesh? Did I get disciplined? Yeah. I'm going to tell you one of the worst disciplines I ever went through in my life. You probably heard it before. I'll tell you again. The worst discipline I've ever been through in my life was when I was young in the Lord, just young. I guess I was 3 years young. I was probably like a 3 or 4 year old. You with me? And I was doing my best to serve God. And He didn't do some things that I wanted Him to do. Be like a 4 year old coming up and saying, "Mom, I saw this boy over there and he had a shotgun and I want one." And she didn't give it to me. You know? You know what I'm saying? So I got mad at him. A little kid. And I said, "That's the kind of father you are. Just get out of my life." If I'd have been God, the kind of God I would have been, I said, "Okay, son, here." But I don't think he laughed. I just think he said, "You poor little thing, you just don't even understand what you're talking about." What parent would take a little 4 year old and nearly beat him to death or kill him because they didn't obey? Are you with me? But as far as I was concerned, that presence that I had been so used to for 3 years, that peace, that love, that joy, that comfort that I had, was gone. At that point, initially, I didn't care. Didn't bother me one bit. I went to work and I decided I was going to be a multimillionaire by the time I was 30 years old. Are you with me? And I was on the way to doing that, I thought, until I lost everything I had. But after about a year and a half or 2 years, I began to start looking for the Lord again. I thought, I miss Him. I miss that peace. I miss that joy. I miss that comfort. And then I began to wonder, have I committed the sin unto death? Have I committed the unpardonable sin? And then I told Him to get out of my life. And you talk about a fearful thing. That's the greatest punishment I ever had, was I thought, boy, I have messed up bad. I've told God to get out of my life, and He's not here with me anymore. And what am I going to do? I was beside myself. I went to Billy Graham, preached one of his evangelistic crusades in the New Astrodome. I went there. I thought, well, if I go there, I can get right with God. Nothing. Didn't feel a thing. I went to different pastors and different churches all around Houston. I talked to pastors. And I told them, I'm trying to get right with God. And they said they'd pray for me and gave me a few things to do. I'd done all I needed to do. I finally gave completely up. That last fourth year, I gave completely up. I said, whatever it is I'm doing, God, I'm sorry. I give up. I've done everything for this past year and a half, too, and everything trying to find You and get back. And I can't. One Sunday afternoon in Houston, Texas, South Houston, we lived at 407 Frieda, I think it was. 413, one of the four on Frieda Drive in South Houston, Texas. Frieda. Frieda. F-R-E-D-A. Frieda. I'm sorry. And 2 o'clock in the afternoon, one of the preachers that I don't even remember his name to this day, I just know he was one of the preachers I had talked to months before, showed up at my doorstep, knocked on my front door, and said, Lewis? And I said, yes, sir. He had his Bible under his arm, so I knew he was a preacher. He said, God sent me here. If God ever sends you somewhere, you go. I don't care what you think. You go and do what He says. Because it's not what you're doing, it's what God's wanting to do. And he said, well, where's your wife? And I said, she's in the back. And I called Pat. I said, Pat, hey, come in here. And he said, y'all sit down over there on the couch. He stood up in front of us about in the middle of my real living room floor, opened up his Bible, and he preached sermons for about 5 minutes. I don't know what he preached on. I didn't really care. And he said, now y'all get on your knees. We're going to have prayer. And this is what I prayed. Exactly. Lord, I'm on my knees with my wife, and I said, Lord, is this the time You're going to open the door and let me back? And it was. 3 weeks later, I was pastoring a church in Corpus Christi, Texas. And the presence of God was with me in my heart. The joy of my salvation had returned. And blessed God, I've always said ever since then, I never ever want to do that ever again. I'm not going to tell God ever to get out of my life. Amen. So you can learn something from that experience.
I don't think anybody would ever be so stupid as I was to tell God to get out of their life. But I'm so glad he just said, I don't hold that against you. That was like a 3 or 4 year old child talking to his father. I said, boy, Lord, I'm so glad you feel that way. God hasn't given us our commandments to put us in a straitjacket or to put us into bondage and to tie us up and get us all involved in some theology and doctrine and do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. He's given us those commandments to let us know we haven't kept them and that we sinned, but He's made a provision through His Son on the cross to die for our sins, take our place, and if we'll come to Him and say, Lord, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, He'll say, come on in. I've been waiting for you. Amen? And then we need to live there. Live there. Let's everybody stand. That's what this is all about, folks. That's what this church is about. That's what I'm about. That's what all God's true ministers are about. That's what all God's people are about. We're about letting people know. I don't care what you've done, where you are, where you've been, how you've lived. I want you to know God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. And while you were yet in your sins, God sent His Son to take your sins and His stripes in His body and die in your place so that you can be resurrected again and be born again by the Spirit of God into His kingdom. I can't change you. Church can't change you. Denominations, religions can't change you, but God can change you. And that's why we come to Him and trust Him and then to keep us changed. Amen? Let's just take a moment here, heads bowed, eyes closed. Anyone wants to come to the altar to pray, just come on at this time. Anybody wants to come and help somebody pray, you can come pray for somebody if they come. Whatever you want to do. This is God's time here, right now. This is His time. You're not responding to me. You're not responding to some preacher. The Spirit of God is here, and He's letting you know that He loves you and He cares for you. You let Him be in your life, it'll bring good to you and your family, and you'll be blessed. All of us, we may not understand, we're all blessed anyway to some degree. Amen. I want to thank you for being here this morning. I want to thank you especially all of you who pray for us and pray for our church and your church and your church family, lifting us up before the throne of God. I want to tell you right now, we appreciate your prayers. And I can speak for everybody here. If your name's on somebody's prayer list in this church and they're praying for you, thank God for that. Because it's prayer that changes things. Amen. So we thank God for you, all of you. We pray God's richest blessings on you. We want what God wants for you, the very best for your life. Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service, we just commend everybody to your grace. We thank you, Lord, that wherever we are, you're there. We cannot go anywhere from the presence, your presence. Everybody in this whole world, but especially those of us that are Christians, been born again by your Spirit, our bodies are the habitation of God. We're indwelt by your Holy Spirit, and we don't want to go anywhere away from you, and we don't want you to go away from us. So we just want to thank you for loving us, caring for us. Thank you for hearing our prayers and having mercy on us and putting up with us and taking care of us, even though we've done a lot of things that weren't right. Thank you for being a good God, a great God, a mighty God, a wonderful God, and a wonderful Savior and a wonderful Father. Thank you for all your blessings in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day, everybody. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for being here.